And once again, to join our friends up at Gear, when we think of Gear, we think of Gear Village, but of course Gear incorporates not only Gear Village, but also Beckley House, and also Gear Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, where they have a real fine rehab center. I can say that because I've rehabbed there with my knees and learning how to rewalk for a long, long time. And with us, we have the head of that, Michael Mangini. Michael, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Marshall.
So let's talk about how everybody's world has changed, and of course, with your physical therapy being at Gear Nursing and Rehab Center and on the Gear campus, you are doing actually a pretty unique thing with physical therapy, and that is telephysical therapy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're closed for traditional physical therapy. Our center's actually closed. But we are open for virtual visits. So it's pretty exciting. It's sort of new in the physical therapy world, but right now we've been doing it for a couple of weeks, and patients are really, really enjoying it.
So how does it work? I mean, you know, as somebody who's had physical therapy, you go in and you go through your normal routines with your therapist, whatever it is. How does it work with telephysical therapy? Is it the same thing? Do you give step by step? Is it how does it work when somebody does this?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, that's sort of hey, how does this work? Because, I mean, physical therapy is kind of known for hands-on and contact. I mean, folks make an appointment as they normally would. We put them on a schedule. We create a secure portal. It's a HIPAA-compliant portal. And basically, all you need is either a phone, you know, a tablet computer, and then we create a virtual room. You know, I send a link, you know, to somebody via email. Once they open the link at their appointment time, you know, we join in the virtual room, and then we have, you know, a secure connection. So I see them, they see me, and it's very similar to FaceTime or Skype and things that people have been using for years.
And do they do the same physical routines? You just guide them through it if they're on their bed or something like that, or a couch, or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing is that we have a one-on-one. And we can still see and communicate effectively, so we can still evaluate. So we've had new patients and existing patients, so we can go through a screening or an evaluation process. And then based on what we need to do, then, you know, we can teach people how to self-treat and to do maybe even manual therapy techniques to themselves. Or we can run through folks through appropriate exercises and supervise and guide as needed.
Well, listening to you talk about it, it sounds a lot like when I was doing physical therapy. The things that you were doing or the physical therapist was doing with me on site, they also gave me alternatives how to do that same therapy to practice it at home. So this is just really an actual more convenient step for that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it takes a little creativity and it takes the right person and their motivation, but for the most part, you know, it's been super fun for me, and it's been well received for patients, and the outcomes have been great. I mean, in a couple of weeks, I had one woman last week who had been recovering from shoulder surgery and had an adjacent neck issue, and we were able to address it with some education and some sort of self-treatment techniques, and within a couple of sessions, she was doing so much better. And she hadn't been able to receive any therapy due to the pandemic and being at home. So this was a great, you know, alternative for her. And then, you know, the other bonus is, weather, transportation. You don't really need to have a car. You don't, if you're not feeling well that day, you can still do your therapy from home, which is super convenient.
All right. Now, how did, and this is going to be the interesting question, how did, I would think it was a little tough for patients to adapt, but how did you guys adapt to it? Was it something that that took a couple of days or a couple of different clients to work into a rhythm, or was this something that you were ready to jump right into?
Well, I mean, it's new to us, for sure. So, I mean, it's been a learning process. Thankfully, due to our technology here at Gear and then the system that we use for our documentation, they've created systems that it made it much easier and much safer for us to use, because ultimately, you know, security and compliance with HIPAA is our priority. So we've got a secure platform, a good internet connection here at Gear, and then also getting feedback, you know, asking patients, hey, what worked for you today? What could we do better? And then after doing a few sessions, you know, we've been able to fine-tune our process and make it pretty easy for folks and pretty easy for us here at Gear.
All right. Now, so we look at this, and how long have you been doing physical therapy as a career, Michael?
So as of Mother's Day, it's been 30 years for me, and I've been here at Gear for 23.
Now, this really has to be, with this pandemic, something brand new to you. And when this first all broke out, in your mind, as the person who's heading up the Gear rehab facility, did you immediately start thinking how you were going to deal with this the moment everything went haywire 8 weeks ago?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it hit everybody over the head pretty hard. So, yeah, I mean, it evolved very quickly from, you know, our State Practice Act and, you know, insurance never really allowed telemedicine and physical therapy. But within a few weeks, legislation and so many things changed. So now all insurances, including Medicare, are covering telemedicine for physical therapists. In Connecticut, our State Practice Act now allows us to do that. So I think going forward, I think it's going to be part of how we deliver care. And when we reopen, I think you're going to see some folks certainly wanting to come back into the clinic for hands-on therapy, dry needling, and some of the other services we provide, but probably for other reasons might want to just have some sessions where they can stay at home, which might be more convenient or you know, easier for them. So I think going forward, it's going to be the way we all practice, whether it's, you know, with physical therapists or our primary care doctors.
Well, that was the next question I was going to ask you and direction to go. I know here at the radio station, we closed down the radio station immediately, and everybody that was coming in to do shows over the course of the next 2 or 3 weeks learned how to set up a little studio in their house and do the show remotely. And what we found is that most people have found that they like the convenience of doing it at their house and sending it in remotely instead of having to travel, let's say, 20 minutes into Sharon, do a 20-minute segment, and then drive back home for 20 minutes. So it's something that we've learned, and with the equipment and the technology that's available, we've even adapted that way. And do you think now this will change the way, not everything is done, of course, but certain things are done in the future ongoing? I mean, it sounds like, to me, like the way you're explaining it, that yes, some of these things can be adapted that way.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are really critically looking at how we provide our service, and I think there are so many barriers to getting care, you know, anything in healthcare, and I think one of the barriers, and especially in a rural environment, is in the northwest corner, is weather, transportation, and other factors, and sometimes even the cost of driving to get here. So I think this reduces barriers, and it gives people an option. I think, you know, probably for us, you know, the other barrier is for some folks, technology is a concern and a fear. Like, I'm not sure how I can manage the computer, but I think once somebody tries, they realize it's really very easy, and some folks have even had a friend or a family member guide them through that first time, and once they do it once, they've been very successful. And then there's the other option is the phone. It's not as good as having the visual, but we've had some folks just be comfortable with the telephone conversation. I've had one of my patients is a 90-year-old, and she's doing the virtual visits with us, and she absolutely loves it. So I think that's probably the biggest barrier for the virtual visits is the concern over the technology.
Well, it seems like you're adapting there on the campus at Gear Village. And once again, if people want more information, what number should they call?
They can call our main number, you know, which is 860-824-3820. Or they can reach out to me directly via email, which is my first initial M, my last name, Mangini, M-A-N-G-I-N-I, @gearcares.org.
Well, you and your family stay safe, and we hope to check in with you again and keep up the great work.
Thanks, Marshall. You too.